very good wet morning. Very good morning, Namibia. It's actually a beautiful morning right here. It's a very wet morning around Dondangwa and Angwediva. It started raining, I think, early this morning, and it's quite really feel good. And I hope the feeling is the same wherever you are in Namibia, wherever you're listening us from. And and thanks for joining us this very wet Tuesday morning, the 21st of January 2025. So welcome to Eagle FM. This is your number one talk radio station, and our time is 33 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So this is the show where we dive deep into the stories, events and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how they impact our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we are here to make sense of it all together. So, but it is not just about us talking, it is about you. You share your thoughts, opinion, and perspective on the topics that matters most to you. This is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. And if you're just joining us, welcome to this Monday morning, and it's a very wet morning on this part of the world. And I hope that it's the same wherever you are in Namibia, in this beautiful land of the brave. So our thought of the day today, is the only a fool tests the depth of river. Only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet. Only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet. So the proverb advises against taking unnecessary risk without first considering the potential consequences. So it advises to gather information and consider a possible outcome before making major decisions. So this is true in life, it's true in relationship, it's true in business and any significant endeavor that you are undertaking. So in terms of business, before investing all your saving into a new business venture, it is prudent to test the market or start small to measure the demand and the feasibility. So that's what our thought of the day advises. You know, only a fool tests the depth of a river with both feet. So I hope that would help you how you go through your day today. All right, our time 36 minutes past the hour of 7. And wherever you're listening us, thank you for joining us. And wherever you are, you can tune in to Eagle FM either through our website or through our Eagle FM app, which you can download from the Google Play and also your Play Store. So, and you can now explore a world of exciting features there. Get access to podcasts, breaking news, show schedules, and also sometimes you get also job vacancies there. That's why you need to actually download that. So there are so many features there. Typical one, there's also another one on Empango, the Rerolion Tonka. So if you're living in this area, maybe you need to familiarize yourself with actually what are the rules and statutes for the Ondonga Traditional Authority. So, and there are so much more features that you can go through that. So, and I always say this one, another must-have app. This is also a must-have app, which is an Imba, which is my favorite one, because when I go to funerals or weddings or church service, you know, I carry this. I just carry this, you know. Carry your favorite hymnal. I carry my favorite hymnal in my pocket, you know. So download Imba today and never be without your hymns again, you know. They're always with you. So, yeah. And if you want to get your latest news absolutely free, you know, you want to own a copy of a Villager, it is simple. Send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081 241 44 081 241 44, and it's absolutely free, and save that number and start receiving the Villager every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, and follow and engage with us. Stay in the loop by following Eagle FM and the Villager on our various social platform, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Telegram, and WhatsApp. So, like and comment and share your thoughts, because we love hearing from you, all right? And please do advertise with us if you're looking to promote your businesses or event, whether it is a workshop, a conference, or just a real-time exposure through a live streaming or broadcasting. So we really get you covered. And you can contact us at 083-288-400 and do it today. Do it today and let Eagle FM make sure that, you know, your message get wherever you want it. So when we come from the break, we will get into our first item of the show. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshoveli. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.
So welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And today we are turning our attention to Namibia's procurement system. This is a critical component of how our economy functions. So this system determines how public entities acquire goods and services. It is designed to promote transparency, fairness, efficiency, while driving local economic growth. So, but is it truly working to empower our businesses or keep wealth within our borders? So to help us unpack this, we are joined by Mr. Patrick Swaltz, a lecturer at UNAM in School of Accounting, and the founding chairperson of the Central Procurement Board of Namibia. So good morning, Mr. Swaltz, and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike, and good morning, listeners.
So, Mr. Swart, let's start with the basics. So, how can Namibia's procurement system encourage more participants or participation from local businesses, especially the SMEs?
Well, Mike, the act that we have, the Public Procurement Act, as amended by the Honorable Minister Simi, has got adequate provisions in that is clearly advantageous to the supposedly small businesses in this country. So we've got a legal framework. The challenge that we have is that any good system has got to have human intervention.
Yeah.
And therein lies the challenge. It has got a magnitude of implementers across a spectrum of public entities that are not all capacitated at the same level. And therein lies a big challenge for the Namibian businesses and the Namibian system. In fact, the procurement system that we have compare very, very good or very, 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 very good to the best in the world. Unfortunately, like I said, first world system.
Mr. Swartz, we're going to have a quick commercial break and then we will definitely continue. All right, just a quick one, yeah.
Hair done, makeup looks good, this dress is fire. Okay, time to put on these gorgeous heels. I can't wait for him to see these. Please fit, but squeeze in. Whew. Sometimes the squeeze isn't worth that squeeze, if you know what I mean. But luckily, with Express Credit 0% first payday loans, we'll help you ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Now that's a relief. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
All right, welcome back. So, Mr. Swart, you can continue.
Like I said, our system compares very well with the rest of the world. Unfortunately, what we're lacking is consistency amongst the various public entities in order to bring this to the fore, so that the actual proponents or the actual beneficiaries of this could benefit us a lot.
Yeah.
I think in short, our public procurement system is very good. Unfortunately, the implementation is not where we should be at this stage.
Yeah. Talking of the implementation, the procurement system is meant to create equal opportunity for all bidders. So do you think this is happening effectively? And are there areas where certain business still face disadvantages?
I think there are pockets of very, very good empowerment initiatives being run, especially from your Category 1 type of public entities, the NEM powers, the NEM ports, we've got NEM water, we've got road authorities that have got possibly world-class examples how the small and medium enterprises can actually benefit. However, not consistently. And therein lies probably a challenge for us in bringing that equality across the board. We've also now seen that some of the regional authorities, some of the local authorities, has really put out some very, very good initiatives.
Mm.
But let's be honest, it's a two-way communication stream, or there's two parties to this particular contract. There's on the one side the public entity, on the other side there's the bidder. So what most of the public entities will tell you is that wait a minute, we've provided opportunities for SMEs, we've provided opportunities for local players, but they failed us. We have now issues where you have got people that would be barred as a result of execution of contracts that didn't work according to the plan that was laid out. So Mike, it's two sides of a coin.
Mm. Would you say maybe the procurement policies really play a role in supporting small and medium sized enterprises across Namibia?
I think so. Like I said, what we do have in place is the legal framework. What we do have in place is the policy framework. That is unequivocally not denied. In fact, the World Bank has suggested that in their review that there are some very, very good policies in play here. What needs to happen is probably strengthening of capacity in order to execute it appropriately.
All right. In your opinion, this is another aspect. Are we doing enough to promote Namibia made product and services through procurement? And what more can be done if not?
Okay. So everybody take a cue from legislation.
Yeah.
So legislation says, in terms of Section 2, the object of the Act, we need to promote certain products, services manufactured in Namibia, extracted from Namibia.
Mm.
So it also says that we need to promote SMEs, youth, in order to create job creation. Then the government, the minister went further and says, let's do a code of good practices. The code of good practices then says, listen, these things that we are talking about is actually, these are the products that we would like you to list. And it's a comprehensive list of products that are made in Namibia.
Mm.
So what am I telling you? I'm telling you the background is there, the products are there. But then you find, you come to a conference and you find the water that is standing there is coming imported from South Africa.
Yeah.
So you ask what happened here, and you can see clearly people are scratching their heads and so on, because what they have done is they put out a bid and they says, we would like to have water to be supplied here.
Mm.
And the people went and they bought water. But if they would have described the water to be manufactured in Namibia, then it would have been very clear. So we get a disconnect with the specifications that has actually been put in the documentation that actually allowed for that contract to come to its right, or that policy to come to its right.
So that means that there are somehow loopholes in how the description are done within when this is actually given out, isn't it?
That's correct. In my experience, what we have found is that the intentions are there, but there seem to be a lack between the intention, the legislation, and the final documentation, because part and parcel of the things that we have highlighted in the past is that our procurement officers doesn't have the right requisite skill in order to clearly articulate the specifications that needs to be in there. Now, again, Mike, it's a double-edged sword, because if we train them to do this right, then they should be able to have a generic form of description that is detailed enough to suggest that it comes from Namibia, but not so detailed that it suggests you need to buy a specific water from a specific manufacturer. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in order for fairness and to allow for competition, you need to then suggest that the water needs to be manufactured or extracted from Namibian soil and bottled in Namibia.
Yeah.
And that will be sufficient to allow Omaruru water and Coca-Cola water or whatever water there is, Namibian beverages water, extracted from Namibian water,
yeah,
bottled in Namibia, using Namibian labor, and then put on the market. But it's in your category one procurement institutions or the public entities, they get it right, because Empower's got about 21 people working in their public or their procurement unit.
Mm.
Whilst there's one or two in a local authority or for a village council somewhere. And you know, Mike, the village council actually requires and needs it much more, because they need to serve the community in which they operate.
Yeah, yeah. But not being, taking you up, but not being specific enough would actually open up an opportunity of manipulation and corruption, would it?
Sorry, can you repeat that question again?
Yeah, being sometime when the instructions are not really specific, that would actually open up an opportunity of manipulation or corruption, isn't it?
It truly allows for human intervention.
Yeah.
Sometimes intentional, sometimes unintentional.
Yeah.
Sometimes as a result of not capacitated to that extent, other times to be probably too innovative,
yeah,
and creative,
yeah,
that allows for opportunities to emerge through that process. Let's be honest with one another. In the world, probably the procurement system, public procurement system, is susceptible a lot for corruption and manipulation.
Yeah. Okay. How can the government then ensure that there is also this whole question of contract awarded to bigger companies? So my question is now: how can the government ensure that the large contract awarded to companies that keep wealth circulating within the country rather than sending profit abroad?
I think, Mike, if we just rephrase that a little bit, because it could suggest that we don't allow companies to make profits and to do with their profits what they want.
Yeah.
Let's rephrase it. What we would like to see is that a company working in Namibia must spend as much as they can to execute that contract.
Yeah.
In Namibia.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's a couple of things that one can do in that regard. And again, these things are, it's not rocket science. It is done across the world,
yeah,
and it's definitely in our processes that they are available. The first thing that can be done is we can say to the public entity, or the public entity can say that certain aspects are reserved for Namibian businesses only.
Mm.
So when you go through that process, you can say, if you unpack that particular job that needs to be done, and here you really need to experts. You know, if you have a work-related tender or a bid, you need your engineers to say, listen,
yeah,
but hang on, we're going to go and build a substation. Substation is maybe, argument's sake, $5 million worth.
Mm.
That doesn't need to be done by the main contractor. Let it be reserved for a Namibian contractor to do that particular thing.
Yeah.
It says that architect that needs to draw that particular establishment, warehouse where this substation must be housed, can be done by an architect in Namibia.
Mm.
Can you see what I'm saying? So that's called reservation.
Yeah.
It's unpacking the procurement in its totality and see which of those procurement aspects can be done. Access roads can be done by Namibian small contractors. We've got a lot of them that can do that. But also, that's on the one side. The other side is you can actually take that particular contract and divide it in lots. Let's take a good example, and I love to use this example. There are three examples that I would like to use. The first is the cleaning contract.
Yeah.
Let's say Manpower, or let's use the Ministry of, Ministry of Health.
Yeah.
So Ministry of Health has got 200 health facilities across the country. So Ministry of Health can say, listen, one contract for 200 facilities in Namibia for cleaning.
Mm, yeah.
That means you need to have a logistics that is second to none. You need to have the ability, the finances, the human capacity, the managers in order to manage it.
But
they can say, listen, let's break it up in regions. So now we've got 14 regions. In each of those regions, there's 5 or 6 facilities. And now you have a contract per region. That's called lots.
Mm.
So now you issue a lot, and now the small and medium enterprise can compete for that particular lot. That's one way. Another way is that when you take, for instance, a road, and a good example would be the road between Windhoek and the airport.
Yeah.
You know there's two contractors that are running, that are working simultaneously on those on that road.
Mm.
The one is financed through the Chinese government, as far as I understand, and I speak under correction. Please, I hope that the people will not lambast me for giving you, but just for conceptual understanding.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And the other one is financed through the African Development Bank. But Roads Authority has got oversight over the project, and they make sure that the planning that they have done will bring the two roads exactly at the same point together.
Mm, mm.
So that means you can have two big contractors running at the same time, and eventually it will bring together. It just requires a lot of planning on our side. And that's what the new public procurement, or the public procurement is no more new, it's more than 7 years old.
Mm.
It allows you to sit and plan. It's not a buying function that you can get up and say, I'm going to get people to build me a road. No. You've got to sit down and plan this road and say, this is the phases that we're going to do, and this is what we need in these phases, which open up a lot of these things. You can literally take up to 30, 40, 50% of the contract, and it can be executed by Namibians without interference to the ultimate deliverance of the particular product. However, having said that, there's a lot of requirement for the public entity to have oversight over quality and consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because a part and parcel of the experiences that the local public entities have is the Namibian lack consistency in providing a good quality product.
Yeah.
So having said that caveat, so that we cover both sides of the particular thing. So it's, public procurement is actually very complex in its nature.
Yeah. So the lack of, are you saying the lack of providing quality service and product is what sometimes actually disadvantage the local companies and maybe let's say also in the smaller maybe contract SMEs? Would you say that?
I would say that definitely quality, consistent delivery will provide opportunities for an SME to possibly be in the loop for another contract and another contract.
Yeah.
Because what the procurement contract says, what the procurement law says, is that when they view your next procurement award, they have to take into consideration your past performances.
Mm.
So if your past performances were negative and people start registering negative reports on you, that affects your ability to be awarded a new contract.
All right. So the other thing is the local content and prioritizing local content. So what strategy can Namibia adopt to prioritize local content and ensure that wealth generated by public procurement stays within the country?
A very good question. We see even now the mines.
Yeah.
The mines, I've seen the reports, will tell you we have spent $3 billion Namibian dollars over this period of time with Namibian suppliers.
Mm.
So here's the thing. The Public Procurement Act under the Code of Good Practices suggests that these are products that must be bought from Namibian suppliers unless there is insufficient supply So the needs of the government contract at that point in time.
Yeah.
Only then you are allowed to go outside. And it's a simple, Mike, it's a simple thing. It's in most of the bidding documents. So when you go to the monitoring and evaluation of contract implementation, you hold the contractor liable for not complying to that particular part of the contract.
Yeah.
And you penalize them accordingly. If you start penalizing them, you will quickly see how they fall into place. And they will support you. And you will see they will provide you with documentation from suppliers that says, at this point, from this time to this time, I don't have sufficient product to deliver.